Why don't we start by saying good morning?
Well, that you could say that, but it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so that wouldn't be the best way to start. How about good day?
Yeah, good day. Good day. Yeah, so how are you doing, Greg?
I am in top form. Just got back from holiday and getting back on top of things, Steve. How about you?
Yeah, I'm very well. Very well. Thank you for taking the time out to talk to me today. We had the event that we did together a few months ago now.
Yeah, I think it was in April, actually, in London. That was a good day. It seemed to go well, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, Martin was very happy with it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and there was a good house, and there were a lot of questions and a lot of interest. And actually, one of your questions that I know you're going to ask me later today, and I won't try and answer it now, but it did strike me that there was a massive amount of interest in the room about the ideas. But I did leave wondering how many people were going to tackle the issues that needed to be tackled.
If you look at that then, where is recruitment now? And where do you think agency recruitment's going to develop?
Well, I think, so let me give you some context. If you've seen, if you've met me or seen pictures of me, you'll know how young and fit I'm looking. But in fact, I've been in recruitment for 40 years next year. And so that's only important in one sense, because it's important that when I make my comments about where recruitment is now, that's in the context of having seen all the cataclysmic changes that our industry has been through. Bear in mind that I started recruiting 15 years before the internet was invented, right? So before internet, before fax machine, before job boards, before social media, before ATS systems, before predictive analytics, before everything that we now have, let alone artificial intelligence, which I'll come back to later. And despite that, I think that we are now in the time of the most dramatic change. And you asked me the question, where is agency recruitment now? I think it's going to go through fundamental shift, and I would suspect that a high percentage of recruitment companies and recruiters will not be in the industry in the next 3 to 5 years. But those that are, and those that make the changes now that are required, will thrive like never before. So I'm investing in recruitment companies. Now, I wouldn't do that out of any kind of romantic sense of love for recruitment. Trust me, Steve. I would do it because I think I'm going to make money and it's going to be fun. Only two things I'm really interested in when it comes to business, fun and getting a return. And I think that, and I know you're going to ask me what sort of recruitment company would you invest in, and I will answer that later. But there's, in terms of what's going to happen to recruitment, I think it will be a smaller industry in terms of the numbers of players, but we will make excellent, excellent returns. And you're going to say to me, well, why? What's going to happen? Well, I think the thing that's most compelling is, in fact, the emergence of artificial intelligence and machine learning. I think that is – actually, it's ironic. I sometimes find myself arguing with some recruitment owner about the importance of social media or having a database that's not a graveyard full of dead candidates, and they debate that with me. And really, that argument's dead and buried. We really need to be talking about how machine learning and artificial intelligence will impact the job. And what it's going to do, in my view, is that it's going to take away big chunks of the job that recruiters currently think are important for them to do. They are important, but they're no longer going to be important for the humans to do. And that includes things like sourcing, which, you know, there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of people around the world who describe themselves as sourcers. Well, bad news. Sourcing's dead. You heard it here first, Steve. That will be replaced by machine learning, screening and matching. All those things are already being done by tools and machines and robots. Automation of the logistics of the job, setting up interviews and reference checks and what have you. These are things that consultants spend incredible amount of time on right now. And they're not even good at it particularly. We are not very good. I mean, which recruiter could put his or her hand up and say that they actually screen every candidate properly? Most of those candidates don't even get a proper perusal of their resume, let alone a proper assessment. So, and of course, chatbots are going to come along, or are coming along. There are some now that are very effective already. They're going to get better and better. And all these things are going to take away a massive part of the recruiter job. Now, Steve, a lot of recruiters say, when I say something like that, oh, you're predicting the demise of recruiters. I'm not predicting that. Machines are not going to take our jobs. But recruiters will lose their jobs because they won't be any good at the part of the job that has value. That's the point.
Are you only talking about volume?
No, I'm not talking about volume. I'm talking about the real finesse skill of selling in the broader sense of its word. selling, consulting, persuading. Where there is nuance, Steve, where there is area of gray, where there's a decision to be made, it's very hard for AI to replicate right now. So I'm saying that automation is going to take away a lot of the hack work, but where thought and planning and opinion is needed, then there is a great opportunity for recruiters to step forward. But the irony of that is that because of digital, this is the deep irony, because of the emergence of digital tools over the last 10 years, most recruiters have lost the craft of recruitment, the influencing skills. A lot of recruiters, particularly in the UK, don't even speak to clients and candidates ever. It's only ever done through digital. And as a result, they don't have the skill of approaching someone that needs to be headhunted, of managing through the process, of handling a counteroffer, of advising a client on a talent acquisition strategy. Most recruiters would hardly know what I just said. And that is where the future lies, in my view. Does that make sense to you, Steve?
It makes sense. Does that mean then that we're going to see recruiter fees coming down because the business cost of finding the right candidates will also come down?
Not at all. I think the fees will go up, and so they should, because the future of recruitment isn't about, in my view, screening, which is really something that machines can do or somebody in Manila can do at, you know, a fraction of the cost of you or I, especially you, Steve, because I know you're highly paid. So that's not going to be the future, screening. It's actually finding unfindable talent. It's working in areas of skill shortage, which, frankly, there will continue to be, and they will get worse, skill shortages, even all the while we have high levels of unemployed people around. Those things are not, you know, necessarily contradictory, as you know. In the UK, for example, skill shortages are at their most severe point that they've been in perhaps ever in certain areas. And if your talent acquisition strategies are only relying on old school techniques, and by that I mean job boards, LinkedIn, your own database, all of which are still important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're now dead, but they're becoming increasingly less effective, and you need to come up with ways to connect with unique candidates. By that, I mean candidates that clients and your competitors can't find. And most recruitment organizations have zero capacity in that area.
So if you're going to give one pragmatic productivity tip for a recruiter today to do something that would help them achieve better candidate relationships, what would it be?
Okay, well, I'll give you two, because they go hand in hand. First of all, you need to work for a company that has a digital and social marketing strategy. And when I say marketing, of course, everyone thinks about clients. I'm not talking about clients particularly. That's important critically, but obviously. But actually, it's the future of recruitment's all about candidates. So I would work for an organization that understands the importance of building brand, understands the importance of social selling, and then the thing that the consultant needs to do, his or herself, is understand the strategies around social selling and build a strong online brand that can start on LinkedIn, it can go into other areas, and start to connect digitally, but learn the tactic of converting initial digital engagement into real life contact. And that is and this for candidates and clients, because then it becomes an inbound marketing issue, which most people, you know, just are completely alien to, because recruitment, and I've been at a long time, as I mentioned, has all been about outbound. You know, it's all about how many cold calls we can make, how many spam emails we can send out, and that's becoming increasingly ineffective, and in fact damaging our brands.
But there's a massive education gap then, because becoming a digital expert and understanding how to analyze your data, let alone turn those into conversions, is there's a massive educational gap there, isn't there?
Oh, it's huge. And that's why I'm saying to you that such a small fraction of recruitment companies will thrive. I mean, I spend my life talking to owners of recruitment companies. That week that I was in London, I spoke to your event, of which there were about 100 people. That was the smallest event I spoke to out of 7 in 5 days. And that, I'm not going to say that's a typical week, because actually speaking to at conferences is not my main thing. My main thing is advising on boards of companies. But it is bordering on the tragic, the lack of understanding that owners of recruitment companies, and I'm generalizing because it's not everybody, have about how the industry is changing and what they need to do. And in fact, it's worse than tragic, because they are gravitating back to exhorting their consultants to do more stuff that is not working. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're grinding people into the ground. So you're right. about education, and there's many reasons for that. I mean, for a start, there are a lot of people in their 40s, 50s who feel that they've built an asset with their recruitment company, and you know, it's too late to change. And if I can just keep going, I'll sell it in 5 years. Well, bad luck. Then they're going to turn the key in the door and walk away. In many cases, now, I'm not being dramatic. I believe that to be the case. They will not have an asset to sell because the businesses won't have a sustainable future. And the reason they won't have a sustainable future, they will no longer be offering clients anything that clients are prepared to pay for. Clients will not pay us for screening candidates that they can find themselves with their own in-house teams and with the money that they will invest in artificial intelligence and other technology. We have to, and I say we, I refer now to the third-party recruitment industry, we need to be smart enough to come up with ways to engage with candidates before those candidates have hit the job market. You know, it's consumer marketing tactics that the future of recruitment hinges on around candidates. It's ironic to me, Steve, that my grog shop up the road, the bottle shop, I don't know what you call them in England, the off sales or whatever.
The offy, yeah.
They have better digital marketing and customer engagement than the biggest recruitment companies I know. Because they will send me an email every 3 months saying, hey, Greg, we think you've run out of Shiraz. And guess what? They're right. Because they know my drinking patterns. And attached to that email will be the bargains of the week. I'll click on them. They've got my credit card. It gets delivered that afternoon. There's two guys working in that bottle shop, both with tattoos and black jeans. And they've got a better marketing strategy than giant recruitment companies. They're engaging with their customers. That is a very, you know what I'm talking about. That is a very simple customer engagement thing. And we can do it in recruitment, and there are some companies doing it, but they do it more for clients, whereas, in fact, the holy grail is to engage with candidates, and not only the candidates we already have, but through a digital and social marketing strategy to connect with people who we don't even know, but they'll know us because of our brand online, and then to start an engagement.
How would you respond to someone saying, okay, well, that's all well and good, but look at the industry. It's growing. There's huge amounts of new recruitment businesses being incorporated every day in the UK. The industry is booming. So what's the problem? How would you respond to that?
Well, I'm the first one to quote those figures, and the industry is growing. It's worth $500 billion worldwide, and it's growing at 6% a year. And right now, you know, that looks reasonably healthy, but you need to dig a bit deeper because I'm not sure. You're based in Asia more than the UK, aren't you?
Yeah, well, Idaboo is primarily in the UK, though we have presence in APAC in the US, and I'm based in Asia.
Right. So if you look at the UK, where if you went to Companies House and you then asked for the number of recruitment companies that were registered last year, you would find that that number was upwards of 100 new recruitment companies a week. Mm-hmm. So that would suggest, yeah, fantastic. However, what you also need to look at are the number of recruitment companies going bust and also the number of recruitment companies that are living hand to mouth and are funded by shareholder debt against their house, literally, right? So is that a healthy industry? I'm not entirely sure. Not only that, though, we should be talking about where the industry is going to be in 5 years. Now, making predictions about the future is a fool's game, and I do it quite often, and I only mention those very few predictions I make that can't come right. But I am predicting, as I said, that there will be many, many failures of recruitment companies, and there will be many that just stagger from hand to mouth where the owners do not build a saleable asset, which, after all, unless you started a business just to get stressed and to buy yourself a job, unless you're building an asset that has value beyond your income, I don't know what the point of doing it is financially. I mean,
you mean you should just go and get a job in that case?
Go and get a job and have a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
But otherwise, build a company that somebody will come and pay you money for because it has a sustainability about it. There's a very few recruitment. I mean, in this country, or by that I mean Australia, where I'm sitting now, and I don't think it's very different in the UK. 80% of recruitment companies have less than 10 staff. 80% of recruitment companies have less than 10 staff, and the most of those have less than 5. That means that those businesses have no future. They have no value. So they might be providing a job for 1, 2, or 3 people, and that's good, but there is no asset being built. And yeah. Some of those owners are living in ignorance, thinking, I've been doing this for 30 years. My brand has value. Brand has no value. The only value in your recruitment business is the certainty of future profits. And that's what a buyer will be looking for. Its value will be calculated as a multiple of current profits, but what the buyer will really be looking at is, will this thing earn money into the future after the owners have left? So I think it would be, I'll put it to you like this. I think it'd be very foolhardy to think that because there are some good numbers now that will go on forever. I think it would be a great mistake to think that we can churn out the same tactics that we've used for 30 years and expect they're going to use in this highly evolved world. I would encourage owners of recruitment companies and managers to fear inertia and to fear complacency. I would say you must self-disrupt before somebody comes and disrupts you in a most uncomfortable way.
Yeah, you should always be doing that around. For sure.
Totally, totally. And people say to me, but I can't invent Uber for recruitment. Don't talk to me about Uber because I don't know why people mention that all the time. It lost $3 billion last year and the CEO got fired for sexual harassment and it's just been banned in about 3 cities. But people always hold up Uber as this great thing. But people say, I can't think, I'm not an inventor or a technical. Innovation can be incremental. You know, all we need to do is to ask ourselves, why do we do it this way? Is there a better way? You know, let's slaughter some sacred cows. Let's do things differently and let's actually act. The main problem, and I know you're gonna want to know why people don't do this. The main problem is that we in recruitment are short-term thinkers. And I say we because I am as guilty as there is no one on this earth who has said more than me, what are the numbers this month? You know, how many resumes have you sent out today? How many client visits have you had this week? There isn't anybody who said that more than me, and yet I've coached myself to realize that, for example, building a brand or investing in a candidate engagement strategy, the returns take time. And that is an anathema to most recruitment company owners. And that's why we're so in love with job boards, Steve, because they don't bring us money immediately, but they bring us candidates or emails anyway into our inbox. And we love that because now we're busy, see? And we're busy doing work and we feel good about it. But in actual fact, most recruitment companies place a tiny fraction of the people who come to them via job boards. Tiny fraction. Very big issue in our industry.
What country do you think is the furthest ahead? You travel a lot. Where could you give any generalizations of a territory or area or country that's pushing ahead in your opinion?
There is no such country on this earth that I'm aware of. What I have found is that the better way to look at it is that within countries, there are groups of people who are way ahead in some things. But if you try to hold them up as a sort of paragon of virtue and you look more closely, you'll find that they're way behind in others. So, for example, in Eastern Europe, where I spend a bit of time, I was there this year, actually, in Prague and Brno and what have you, they're good at sourcing. They're very sophisticated. They source candidates proactively much better than in the UK, and I'm generalizing again. But their approach to contract and temporary recruitment is prehistoric, and they haven't realized that opportunity fully yet. So it's not easy to generalize about a country or a region. I would say that, in my view, the UK is one of the most transactional recruitment markets I've ever seen. And as a result, you know, it's very, very driven by, what do you call them over there, PSLs. We call them PSAs. That is going to change and is beginning to change. I mean, the PSLs will continue to go ahead, but I think there will be more, they will be more circumspect about purely basing PSLs on price. There will be a greater concentration on who can deliver. But in the UK, you know, there's plenty of recruitment companies where the recruiters never meet their clients or even meet their candidates at all. So really, if machines can make the match, where's the value of the human being paid £35,000 a year? The value is going to be in something else, and that something else is very real, but we need to coach our recruiters to be skilled in that, in those areas, I think.
Just to ask a question that, just looking at in-house, if you compare, obviously AI will have an influence in in-house, and there is an element where in-house departments are more empowered because they can use that technology to shortlist candidates quicker. Do you see the same influences on in-house, or do you think that in-house will develop in a different way as a consequence of the technological landscape we're looking at?
I think it will impact certainly, and already is. I think, for example, you know, a lot of in-house teams were set up and targeted with one clear metric: save agency fees. That was the metric. I think that's evolving into a maturation, because saving agency fees, but then finding that you're suffering in terms of quality of hire or time to hire, does not serve the business well. So I think that it will evolve. I think they will become much better at doing things like building internal talent communities than they have been, and that will be a major competitor to recruitment companies who are only using reactive recruitment tactics. So I think in-house will evolve and invest a great deal in tech, particularly big data and predictive analytics and engagement with candidates. That's those companies who have big hiring requirements and they can afford to do that. I would say that in-house recruitment will merge with marketing in relation to HR and marketing working much closely together in the question of employer brand and candidate engagement. Yeah, so that's how I see that evolving.
The in-house world seems more comfortable with the future, really, because as you describe it, it's they already typically market themselves as a brand. There are then loads of other issues about whether the way they market themselves as a brand to their customer, for example, a purchasing customer, does that sync up with how they market themselves to someone who would become an employee? Mm-hmm. And they have work to do there, and it's quite complicated, but I think that the future for them, when we talk about the future you describe, is going to sit much more comfortably for the in-house world than the agency, because this is much more disruptive for the agency world.
It's true. And also, when we say in-house, we're talking about sizable organizations. They typically have far more resources than most recruitment companies, and they also have a lot of marketing expertise in-house because they've got a marketing team of 30 people across the hall, right? Whereas in recruitment, most recruitment companies do not have that. The big ones might. So I do think that they'll become very good at marketing their brand. I think they'll solve that problem for the most part about marketing their products or their actual, their product or services with marketing their brand image and their employer brand. I think they will invest in candidate management, if you want, communities of people. I see that happening already. And they will use artificial intelligence smartly. However, we must also remember that by definition, there is an opportunity that third-party recruiters have which in-house don't. And that is that a third-party recruiter can act as an unbiased agent for the candidate and represent them in the marketplace if they are good enough at what they do. And that is the future. That's how I see it evolving for recruiters, where instead of us acting for the client, because they pay our fee, of course, and we screen candidates and push some on for the client to interview, we will actually be sourcing the top players who are in short supply and acting as their agent and their advocate in the market, which we can do because we can give them unbiased advice and guide them in that way, which most recruiters would not have any clue how to do. I acknowledge that, but that is an opportunity going forward.